Good morning. Welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thank you for joining us today. And happy November. I can't believe we're actually in November. Yes, we just celebrated November 1st. For those of you that may not be aware, November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and each year we ask some of our favorite people from Nutrition Services at Wayne Memorial Hospital.
We are very popular.
Yes, you are. And for those of you that may not know that voice, one of them is Barb Pratt. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Mm-hmm. How are you today?
Good.
Mm-hmm. And then Mary Beth Nogan is our next guest. And both of you are registered dietitians, correct? Mm-hmm. Barb, you're the manager of nutrition services here at Wayne, right?
Yes.
And how long have you been with Wayne Memorial?
25 years.
That, you said that pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yes, you should be proud of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we worked very closely together for many, many years together. And Mary Beth, how long have you been at Wayne?
So I've only been here for 6 weeks.
And how's it going?
It's going really well.
Yes?
Yes.
Wonderful. And yes, I'm so glad you're part of the team
Thank
now.
Thank you.
And you do have extensive I can't even think of the word, experience with nutrition, correct?
Yes.
So we are going to talk about diabetes today. So Mary Beth, can you tell our listeners, you know, what is the theme or the thought behind Diabetes Awareness Month, and what is diabetes?
Sure. So November was proclaimed National Diabetes Awareness Month in the 1980s by President Reagan. And diabetes, that's a chronic metabolic disease in which the body does not properly use the insulin that it creates to regulate blood sugars, therefore creating high glucose levels in the body.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I think knowing about diabetes, it's very much connected, right? Like there's so many little parts here, and that's mm-hmm. what you
Absolutely.
Guys, you know, we'll talk about that, how you dietitians can really help. How prevalent is it in our country and some of the risk factors?
Sure. So about 38 million Americans have diabetes. That's 1.2 million Americans are diagnosed each and every year. And risk factors include being overweight or obese, being over the age of 35, having a family history of diabetes, being a smoker, and also lacking in physical activity.
Right. And when you look at those risk factors, it's not always just one. It could be one or two, correct?
Absolutely. So you're more at risk if you have more risk factors.
Right, right. And I know Barb is going to talk about that a little bit.
Yes.
You know, so when we look at diabetes, we have type 1 and type 2, but you see, well, mm-hmm. we see more incidence of type 2 diabetes.
Primarily type 2. And, you know, the screening age is less now because more of us are overweight and mm-hmm. inactive. So, you know, it used to be diagnosed in later years. You know, that's why it's called adult onset diabetes or type 2. It's something that we would see in people 60, 70, 80. Now we're
right.
seeing it in people 30, 40, 50. So, you know, there definitely is that trend because of the increase in body weight that has been occurring over the decades, and also decreased physical activity.
Right. And so when you look at type 2 diabetes, what are some of the warning signs that someone may look for?
Sure. So, of course, if you have any of those risk factors, and an additional one is that as a woman, if you had gestational diabetes, mm. then that increases your risk of having adult onset diabetes later in life. So those, you know, be aware of your risk factors, because if you do have any of a number of those kinds of things, you want to work with your doctor to have regular screening for those things. But prior to potentially, you know, being diagnosed with it, you can notice increased thirst, frequent urination, blurred vision, even unintentional weight loss because your body's in a malabsorptive state. You're mm-hmm. not utilizing the glucose. And the problem with those glucose levels building up in your body is that it causes damage over time. It damages eyes, mm-hmm. organs,
right,
extremities, you know, mm-hmm. fingers and toes. You know, anybody who knows people with diabetes, you might know that they have loss of a sense of feeling in mm-hmm, their feet. Mm-hmm. So if they get a blister or step on something, you know, maybe they don't feel it and it gets worse. Also, infections get worse if there's a lot of glucose in your system, and it's harder to heal from them.
Right, right. And I remember, you know, years ago I read something that, you know, 50% of the people who are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes already have some complications related to diabetes, right?
True. A lot of people walk around without it, diagnosed. You could have it for years, potentially. I mean, these are more extreme, you know, symptoms of it,
right.
But many people are asymptomatic. So getting those regular screenings is critically important.
Right. So when we talk about seeing your primary care yearly, right, and getting those blood tests, which
Absolutely.
Is really important. So if someone was to go to their primary care doctor, what could they ask for? Like, are there certain blood tests that they can do to determine if they have diabetes?
Yeah, and it is just a simple blood test, really. It's diagnosed with a test called the hemoglobin A1C, or we just call it the A1C for short. So interestingly, our blood sugar numbers, or the values that we have in terms of the blood sugar in our body, which changes by the minute and
mm-hmm.
the hour, are things that those numbers get stored on our red blood cells, and our red blood cells turn themselves over every 3 months. So every 3 months, by checking this A1C, it gives kind of a history of what our blood sugars were over the past 3 months. And that is a definitive test to show that people have diabetes, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes we'll have people go, oh yeah, it was just the holidays and I ate lots of dessert and, you know, overdid it and this and that. That's not because you did that for 3 days, because this tells us over 3 months
right.
what your average blood sugar is, and it definitely, you know, is a true test of it. So an A1C of 6.5%, it comes back as a percent, or greater is indicative of type 2 diabetes, and a A1C of 5.7 or more, between 5.7 and 6.5 is pre-diabetes, you know, would indicate that
mm-hmm.
somebody's headed that direction,
right.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
good idea to, you know, put some strategies in place.
And again, that's, like, again, why you two are here to talk about those things, because we know, again, more studies, more research show,
mm-hmm.
if we can get you in that we don't want you to be diabetic at all, right?
True.
But that pre-diabetic range, that 5.7 to 6.4, right? And don't get over that threshold
mm-hmm.
to 6.5. But there are certain things that they can do even in that pre-diabetes state as well as the diabetes state,
mm-hmm.
right? So what are some of those guidelines that we look at?
Even before pre-diabetes.
Even before, when you have those risk factors, right? And you
Correct.
Don't have the diagnosis.
So it's really important to be aware of
mm-hmm.
what your risk factors are and say, hey, you know, what kinds of things can I do to prevent this? But the kinds of, preventing diabetes is something that we do by becoming more regularly physically active. Physical activity improves how our body uses carbohydrate and distributes insulin. So upping your game a little bit, you know, and getting moving more in whatever ways that you can do that is a really important thing to do. Secondly, trying to achieve or get close to an ideal body weight, lose a little excess weight if the love handles are coming on, and genuinely just a 7 to 10% weight loss
mm-hmm.
is enough
right.
to lower people's risk of all of those things, you know, not only diabetes, but high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all of those numbers improve with a little bit of weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
7 to 10%. It doesn't even mean that you have to be at your ideal body weight.
Right, right. Because if you have someone who's 200 pounds and they want to, say, lose 50, only 7% of that is only 14 pounds. I don't say only,
Correct.
Because for some
yep.
people that could be difficult. Or 10% is 20
mm-hmm.
pounds, may not be their goal,
right?
But enough to make a difference, right?
Right, and for a lot of people, that seems like more doable
right.
for them. You
mm-hmm.
know, oh yeah, I could, you know, drop 10 pounds or
right.
15 pounds. You know, that's going to benefit you, and obviously moving more, getting some regular exercise into your routine is going to help significantly with that weight loss too.
Right.
It's going to improve your numbers and how
mm-hmm.
you feel, and, you know, you're just your overall health.
And can you talk a little bit about, like, fad quick diets versus lifestyle changes overall?
Yeah. So we always definitely reinforce the need for long-term lifestyle changes, realistic changes, you know, realistic kinds of strategies that you can put in place that are attainable and that are things you can do long-term. Things you want to do long term. So obviously fad diets like the keto diet, for example, or paleo or vegan, you know, are things that very few people can really keep up for long periods of time, nor is it necessarily optimal or recommended that you follow those kinds of diets for any long period of time, because anytime a diet eliminates an entire food group, you know that you also are likely not getting the nutrients that your body needs. So we just say general, sensible, healthy eating. Get more fruits and vegetables. 5 a day is what we strive for. Try to swap out the white stuff like white bread and white rice and white saltine crackers for whole grains, because whole grains are things that lower cholesterol and don't increase blood sugar as much. And they also are higher in nutritional value. Choosing lean proteins instead of bacon, bologna, hot dogs, and pepperoni. And
as I take a deep breath, right?
Yeah. Drink plenty of water or zero calorie drinks.
Right. And, you know, yes. So, you know, increasing those healthy foods, those fruits and the vegetables, like your lean meats. And like if something has a label on it, you know, they have portion sizes for a reason, correct?
Yes.
And just because it comes in one package doesn't mean it's one serving, right?
That is right. And so what we really like to tell people, that's simple because you have kind of your own measuring tools with you wherever you go, is that your protein should be about the size and thickness of the palm of your hand. Your preferably whole grain servings should fit into your cupped hand and half your plate vegetables and fruits.
Right, which is so, you know, again, great simple recommendations that really anyone can follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And it's also, to me, like a visual that you know, tells you this is what my plate should look like, because eating balanced meals, eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner instead of skip breakfast, grab a slice of pizza for lunch, then you're starving at dinner time and you eat the rest of the night.
Right.
That's a problem. Yes. That's not good for weight management, diabetes management, blood pressure, you know, blood cholesterol, any of those things. So eat a good breakfast, have a healthy lunch, eat a balanced dinner.
Right.
And that's so much better for blood sugar control.
So, you know, as people listening to the show today, that's what you do in nutrition service. You do outpatient counseling, correct?
Yes.
As a dietitian, what phone number could they call if they're listening and they want to make an appointment?
They can call 570-253-8164. And we will communicate with you what the best way is to go about setting up an appointment. Typically, we do phone consultations with patients, but we're happy to do one-on-one with patients who prefer that.
Okay, great. And, you know, yeah. And again, it's starting looking at those risk factors, right? Not necessarily waiting till you have diabetes, because, again, we know you can prevent it, right?
Absolutely.
And what are some of, like, the, is there any websites or other recommendations that you can talk
sure.
about quickly?
Sure. So the American Diabetes Association, very good website, you know, and has a lot of information for individuals. And also, just diabetes.org is something that you can go on that's easy to access information.
Great. And, you know, are there, like, screening tests? So if someone's listening today, if they go on, you know, diabetes.org, is there a screening test that they can do for themselves?
Yeah, and it'll give you a score and tell you, you know, yeah, I guess I will go see my doctor and try to get, you know, put some things in place before this becomes diabetes.
Yeah, because it'll look at, like, again, those ages and, you know, high cholesterol and high blood pressure and all that fun things.
Inactivity.
Exactly, which, again, we can't stress enough the importance of regular doctor appointments, mm-hmm. right, to prevent this. Mm-hmm. You know, when
catch it early.
Right, right. Because when people say, oh, I'm afraid to go to the doctor by what they're going to tell me.
We hear that.
Right? And
sure.
We nowadays, I think, try to make it very realistic, mm-hmm. very easy for individuals to get the care that they
right,
need.
Right, honestly, let's be proactive and prevent as much as you can and or manage it before it becomes an issue.
Right, right. So again, what phone number would they call if they want to talk to a dietitian?
570-253-8164.
Great. Thank you so much, Mary Beth, Barb. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You know, this topic is always near and dear to my heart.
Of course.
So again, this is Carol Kinnear, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.